always a special service together, supping at the Lord's Supper. Well, praise the Lord. Hymn number 60, let's stand. And we will sing the first, the second, and the fourth prior to our morning sermon. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And I'm so glad he does. Such a blessing to be led by the hand of the Lord, by his Holy Spirit. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need a tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For a poor us prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast brought us than we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast brought us than we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Lead us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Amen.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, loved us still.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, folks. What a precious old hymn of the faith, 1836, glory to God. I love that last stanza, like a shepherd, come receive us when thou comest in the air. In thine arms wilt thou now take us to that joyful union there. Blessed Jesus, in that land beyond compare. Blessed Jesus, in that land beyond compare. I love that. When thou comest in the air. He's coming to rapture us out, church. Oh, what a day that will be. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles this morning. And we'll sing again after the message. Let's open up this morning to the Epistle of 1 John. I love 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John.
I read this yesterday.
Mark was praying, opening us in prayer this morning. He said, God is love. Amen? And he said, Lord, you love us so much, and that's so true. And here in the 1 John chapter 3, we have an incredible passage of Scripture that just really boggles my mind that God could love us so much. And John speaks about it. John was the disciple of love that Jesus loved, that disciple whom Jesus loved. John was often found leaning his head in Jesus' bosom, listening to the heartbeat of God. Amen. That's where we need to be, hearing his heartbeat and loving on him. And he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, he loves us all, I'm so glad. But there's a reason why he singles out John, because John would write some of the most incredible scripture concerning God's love for us, his unconditional love for us. The date is somewhere around A.D. 90, late 1st century A.D. And John has not yet been cast out of society to the Isle of Patmos. He was a loudmouth Baptist preacher, and they cast him out on an island, thought they could shut him up, but he got the book of Revelation out there. So you can't shut up the preacher. But look with me here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We'll read verse 1 and pray and preach. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning on a sermon I've entitled, "The Love That Calls Us Sons." The love that calls us sons. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning, Lord, for Jesus Christ and his unconditional love. Lord, we're so grateful that you love us, Lord, unconditionally, in that there's nothing we can do to merit that love. And there's also nothing we can do to lose that love. It's unconditional. And Father, we are so grateful that we have personally become recipients of that glorious eternal love of God through Jesus Christ. This manner of love bestowed upon us is absolutely amazing. It's indescribable in human language. It's so great, so deep, so large. And Father, we just ask you to bless your word this morning, and may your Holy Spirit enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may see the glory of this everlasting love that you've shed abroad upon us by your Holy Spirit, that we may come to know it in a deeper way, that we may feel it in our bones, that God loves me. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. It is not so much to the contemplation of our blessedness in being sons and daughters of God that we are here summoned to admire, but to the divine love of the Father, which by its wonderful process has made it possible for us to become sons and daughters of God. Folks, do you realize that it was the love of the Father that made it possible for you and I to become his sons and daughters? John calls his converts here in verse 1 to stand back and admire the Heavenly Father's love in all its grandeur and majesty. I want to preach today on the love that calls us sons. In doing so, I want to show you four things from verse number 1. First of all, I want us to see the love that is given. Notice the love that is given. In verse number 1, he writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Upon us. What type of love is this that he would bestow it upon the likes of us sinners? Wow! Beloved, the apostle bids us to behold the manner, that is the type, the category of this love of God. What manner of love? The Greek word there means what possible sort, what kind of love is this? How glorious it is to know that God loves me. And God is with me. And God will take care of me. Beloved, this sort of love can only be perceived by looking to the cross. We turn to the cross and there we see a love which shrinks from no sacrifice. There we see a love which is bestowed on the most unlovable. There we see a love which sighs for recognition and reception. There we see a love that will not abandon its pitiful objects. I say unto you today, church, behold what manner of love he hath bestowed upon us. Notice the little word us in verse number 1. Us. He says, this love was not bestowed upon angels, glorious and sinless, but the likes of sinful man. Wow. What a love this is. Look at chapter 4. Of 1 John. Look at verse 9. He says it this way. In this. See, God demonstrated that love. I love my wife, but how about if I never spoke to her? How about if I never told her I love her? How about if I never demonstrate to her that I love her? She wouldn't feel it, would she? Look at verse 9. And this was manifested. That means made known. The love of God toward who?
Us.
Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, what manner of love could cause the Father to send his only begotten Son to die for us? How could he love us that much? If someone asked me to give up one of my sons for a wicked rebel sitting in prison, I don't know if I could do it. I don't believe I could, but God did. God did. Why? Because he, look at it, verse 9. Because he manifested his love toward us by sending his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what Jesus said in John 17? He said, my Father, I'm ad-libbing, loveth them as he loves me. Wow. Does God the Father love me as much as he loves Jesus? Wait a minute. What manner of love is this, beloved? Stand back and marvel at this incredible love of chapter 3, verse 1. Listen now, in Scotland, many years ago, there was an orphan boy being brought up by his grandmother. One day, their country home caught fire, killing the grandma, trapping the little boy on the roof with no fire department. An elderly man who lived nearby came and began to climb up a water pipe on the side of the house to rescue the boy. The pipe was so hot that he burnt his palms to the bone, but he saved the little boy alive, whom he later adopted to be his own son. Folks, the love that is given, that I want you to behold, pulled you out of the fire. Amen? And he's got the scars in his hands to prove it. He adopted you, yes, that we may call him Father. Oh, glory to God. What a love is this? But something else I want you to see this morning concerning this love of the Father that he's bestowed upon us. Secondly, notice the design or intent of this given love. Now, what is the purpose of it? Look at verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wait a minute. As we dig a little further into this verse, we're finding out why he loved us. So that we could be called his sons and daughters, ladies. Amen? Oh, man. Beloved, the writer here makes a broad distinction between the sons of God and the sons of Adam. In fact, they don't even recognize the sons and daughters of God. Look at verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Saved people, watch it. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You see the distinction being made, the separation, the division between the sons and daughters of God and the sons and daughters of Adam? You have been taken out of Adam's family. I'm sorry, we used to watch it when I was a kid. My favorite show, Adam's Family. They're creepy and the spooky, mysterious and kooky. They're all together goofy, the Adam's Family. Da-na-na-na, 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 da-na-na-na. Hey, I'm so glad. Hey, that was a creepy bunch, the Addams Family. That was us. That was us. Uncle Herman, you know, and Cousin It need a haircut, you know. And then you got this hand coming up out of the box. Oh, that's It, you know. And Lurker, you ring. I mean, this is a creepy bunch. That was you and me. Before we came to Jesus, we were creepy, man. We were in the Addams Family. But you know what? Look at verse 1. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. We are no longer in the Adams family. I'm so glad of that. Oh, and look at the reason why. Why they don't recognize us. Verse 1. because it knew him not. People who don't know God as Father don't know you. They don't recognize who you are. You know, it's amazing to me, the idols and heroes of the world, you know, dope heads, drug pushers, rock stars, Beyonce, you know, all these stupid people that the world lifts up and admires and they think they're so wonderful. God's not that way. God doesn't look at people that way. God looks at the inside. We're glad of that. Amen? Because we are children of the living God. And God knows us as his sons and daughters. The world doesn't know that. They don't understand the intent, the design of this given love that we could become. Look at that. That we should be called the sons of God. Oh, me, oh, my. The sole design and intent of the Father's great love being communicated to this world is so that all people of all nations could have the opportunity of being called the sons and daughters of God. Did you hear what I said? He wants them all to come. They won't, but he wants them all to. That's what I love about him. He's not prejudiced. He's not racist. He's not, he doesn't refuse any except those who refuse themselves. See? His arms are open to all. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Sons of God. You have to receive him to become a son of God. He wants all 7 billion occupants of planet Earth to come to his son, though they won't. When Henry Ford began production of the Model T Ford automobile about 88 years ago, he told the reporters that his intent and design was to provide a dependable and affordable means of transportation for every family in America. See, he had a definite plan and purpose in mind. And so too, beloved, did our Heavenly Father have a specific plan and purpose in mind when he bestowed his love on a sin-sick world by sending his son. That we could become, hey, by the way, you don't have to pay for it, right? We all can afford it. The price is faith. Biblical saving faith, which is free. Oh, glory to God. Something else this morning, quickly. See the glad recognition and assurance of this sonship. Notice with me back here in 1 John chapter 3. Notice the glad recognition and assurance of this sonship. Verse 2. Beloved, now, not someday. You know, I talked to this one guy. Are you saved? I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm hoping to be one day. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're lost and on your way to hell. There's no in between. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. No, time out, church. I love that opening statement of verse 2. John says, I want you to know something. That right now, you already are God's kids. Amen? Hey, my grandson was born yesterday. And guess what? His father called me and said, my son was just born. That's his son. Why? Because he was born to him. You are God's son and daughter because you were born of God. Glory to God. I love how he says, now are we. God wants you to know you're saved. You know who puts doubts in your mind? The devil. I always tell, you know, Christian comes to me, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm really born again. If I'm really saved. I say, you're saved. You're saying, how do you know, Pastor? Because the devil's making you doubt it. See? He doesn't. You ever hear a lost person come to you and say, I wonder if I'm going to heaven. No! I wonder if I'm saved. No. They know they're not. It's a Christian that says, am I really saved? Now are we the sons of God. That's why we need to not lean to our own understanding, but to what saith the Scripture. Amen? The Scripture doesn't lie. Now, folks, listen. Here is a great declaration made to all those who know Jesus Christ. The apostle calls for the new converts' attention by addressing them as the beloved. Look at that, verse 2. First word, beloved. Who are you beloved by? That's right. You are. I don't know if your mama loves you, but I know Jesus loves you. You are in the beloved. Go to Ephesians. Hold your place. Just thought of this verse. Ephesians Look with me in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Oh, this is good stuff. Look at this. We read in verse number 5, Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto, there's that us again, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You've been accepted in the beloved. You're part of the family. Amen. Not Adam's, but the second Adam's. You're in God's family. I'm so glad that we are accepted in the beloved. Now, back to our text. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved. First word. Beloved. He says, you are now part of the beloved. That is, all those who have become part of God's family and been accepted into membership of the family of God. He tells them, by God's Spirit, that they were now, present tense, children of God. And our Father wants us to know that we belong to Him forever, and not to doubt that. Doubt will stifle your growth, in spiritual growth. Go to chapter 5. You know, He wants you to know that you know that you know. Look at it in chapter 5, verse 11. Somebody, a religious fellow, said to me one day, you're awfully presumptuous, saying you know you're going to heaven. Who you think you are? I said, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and my Bible tells me I'm going to heaven because I've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Look at it. Chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record. Beloved, you know what a record is? It's a written document of authentication. Okay? God has, this is the record. God's word, not man's. It's even more sure than a legal binding contract on earth. Look at it. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. By the way, those are all single syllable words in verse 12. You see that? He made it so easy. He that hath the, let me try to figure this out. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I think I can understand that. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may think that ye have eternal life, that ye may doubt that you go into heaven, that ye may perceive that maybe, no, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have, look at it, eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says, I want you to know that you know that you know. Amen? Any person who doesn't know, they're not saved. You've got to know you're saved. I said to one guy one day, he said, how do you know you're saved? I said, man, you can't be saved and not know it. I said, can you be born and not know you were born? I mean, come on, man. You either have life or you're dead. You don't have it, you know. You can't not know. You can't be saved and not know it, is what I'm saying. And this is what God wants us to know. Recognition, glad recognition, and assurance of this sonship. I have a niece and nephew out in New York. Those poor kids went from foster home to foster home. They, oh, man, bounced around and kicked around. Finally, beautiful Christian family adopted them both. They finally had a home to call their own. Amen? They turned out okay. But, folks, that's what people need. They need to know they're part of the family. Glory to God. One last observation this morning concerning our sonship. Finally, we have, listen carefully, we've seen the love that is given. We notice the design and intent of this given love. We've seen the glad recognition and assurance of this sonship. But finally, we have the call to admire this great love. Back to verse 1. Look at it. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wow! Oh boy, I hope somebody's listening this morning. John is addressing all those who know and love the true and living God. And he tells us to behold, that is to iado. The Greek word means to see, to know, to be aware of, to consider, to perceive, to understand, and to meditate upon. The manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. I love it because it says that we are sons of God. Brethren, the world out there is unable, listen to me, the world is unable to perceive the love of God because they haven't experienced it. It must be tasted and seen that the Lord is good. It must be personally received and experienced in your life and in your heart. Listen, Aaron McLaren, great preacher, once said, "The habit of devout and thankful meditation upon the love of God, as manifested in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, lies at the foundation of all vigorous and happy Christian living." McLaren was right. He says, if you meditate upon the love of God that he has for you, your Christian life will be vigorous and alive and joyful. Why? Because you realize God loves me. My biggest problem in life is already solved. I'm on my way to heaven and everything else is just a breeze. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. God loves me. God will carry me through. Listen, beloved. Beloved, God's greatest attribute of all is what? God is love. Every attribute of God is surrounded by and encompassed with his love. His mercy is full of his love. His compassion, long-suffering, patience, it's all full of his love. Everything revolves around his love. I'm so glad he's loved. Back to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, I want to give you three things in closing concerning this incredible love of God. First, notice love's origin. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Beloved, there's that word again. Let us love one another, for love is
of God.
It's of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Listen, beloved, listen to me. All love originates from God. Do you know why you love your spouse? You know why you love your kids? You love your parents? It's because God put the ability in your heart to love someone. That's love is of or from God. We'd be like the animals devouring each other instead of loving each other if we didn't have God's love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. First, there's love's origin. Love is of God. Second, there's love's fellowship. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. Notice love's fellowship. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Notice love's fellowship. You know God's love. You experience God's love. You love God. Then you love your fellow man. And you are involved, actively engaged in love's fellowship. You see it? Listen, first it comes from God loving us. Then we love God. And then we love one another. Oh, love's fellowship. There's nothing like it. I love you guys. I told you this all the time. I'd be here every day to have service with you if you would. Why? Because I love you. I love you. You're my eternal family. See? We'll be in heaven together forever. Now, some of my family, my earthly family, are not saved. I don't know if they'll ever get saved. But I know you guys are. And I know at least I'll be with you in heaven. I pray they will. I pray they will understand love's fellowship. It's the love of God shed abroad. Thirdly and finally, notice love's essence. Love's essence. Look at verse number 8 of chapter 4. Verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. You know what's wrong with those terrorists over there chopping people's heads off? They don't know God. They're full of hate. They're full of the devil. They're demon-possessed because they don't know the love of God. When you love God and you know God's love, you love people. You minister to people. You help them. You feed them. You clothe them. You don't kill them. You see that? Look at that verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. There's the problem. They don't know God. Because, look at it. For God is love. Listen to me. The essence of all love is from God. For God is love. Beloved, this is the love that calls us sons. It's the love of the Father. Spurgeon was preaching on God's love one Sunday morning when he made this incredible statement. He said, and I quote, "When Mary and Martha sent to Jesus their message, it was not, 'Lord, he that loveth thee is sick,' but, 'Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick.' For it is not our imperfect love to him that comforts us, but rather his perfect love for us." Woo. It's the love that calls us sons and daughters. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the love that calls us sons and daughters of the living God. Father, how we thank you that this love is received, it is experienced, and then it is reciprocated. First to you. We love you supremely above all others, including ourselves. We love God supremely. And then, Lord, we love one another. We love one another because your love is in us. We can take no credit for that. It's a received love. It's the love of the Holy Spirit shed abroad through our hearts. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I remember in October 3rd in 1986, for the first time in my life, I experienced your love, and it changed me forever. Prior to that, Lord, I was a selfish, ugly, rotten person. And Lord, I didn't love anybody but myself. I couldn't care less about this book or that Savior. And then you came into my life, and your love changed everything. Thank you, Lord, that you've done the same for these folks in church this morning. They're here not because of me. They're here because they love Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your glorious love. Help us, Lord, in our daily lives to reciprocate that love. In all we say, in all we think, in all we do, let it be based upon the love of God that is in us. Oh, Lord, we want to demonstrate that love to this lost and dying world that they might see the love of God in us and be drawn like a spiritual magnet to it to be saved. Lord, we just thank you that we can be by your Holy Spirit who indwells us. We thank you for it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand for a hymn of invitation this morning. Glory to God. Open up to 52, hymn 52, which really hymn says it all. And we're going to sing the first and second of hymn 52. Put this on my tombstone if I die before you. Because that's what we've got. We've got victory, and we've got it in Jesus. Amen? First and second, folks. Yes.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Amen!
Oh, victory! Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He loves me. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he the lame to walk again, and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Everybody now!
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He runs me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen, amen. Brother Tim, stand and dismiss us in prayer. And if you can, tonight at 6, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table. And then, of course, we'll get back into our study of the tribulation period. Brother?
Lord Jesus, please forgive us for all of our sins. Thank you for the message this morning, my God. Please ask that you bring us all back safely tonight for the Lord's table. And that you would bless the preaching and bless Pastor Bob and just keep him spirit-filled so he can preach your truth. In the blood of his son we ask. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.